He's been with us all weekend. He had a very traumatic journey up from London yesterday with the football crowd on the train. But we were really blessed yesterday in our prayer time when we met. And we're really looking forward to what you've got to share with us this morning.
Praise God. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Always be a delight to be at my church. It's always a delight to be and dad and mom, and it's been a great time spending yesterday with the leadership and the prayer we had yesterday night. It's just wonderful to be here. For those who are watching online, just want to say, how do you do, guys? I hope you're doing great. Come on, let's give the online congregation a round of applause. Let them feel they are there. Let them feel they are being part of the service today. And then for all the young ones who are here, you have my permission to switch on your phone and to go on Twitter. And then if I speak of anything you like, you can tweet it at Rev Yemi and tweet it to your friends. Because they did say that if young ones tweet, they will reach more people than anybody can reach. So you have my permission only on your Twitter, and you listen to the sermon. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you because we want to hear what you're going to say to us. Open our heart so that we may hear you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I woke up this morning asking God what he would like me to say, and I felt the Lord is saying that maybe oftentimes when God is dealing with you, it's because he wants to speak through your experience to the people. And I felt the Lord kind of say to me, it's about his presence. And it's about understanding what it means to be in the presence of God. And to have the fire of God burning continuously on your heart. And so, if you read the Bible reading in the book of Leviticus, which is quite very interesting, because most preachers don't like to preach from Leviticus. What do you preach from Leviticus? It's all sacrifices, it's all burnt offering, it's all of that. It's not too interesting. But hidden in Leviticus is amazing Bible text that if we go through it, you will understand that it's going to make a lot of difference into our lives. So as that Bible reading has been read, Leviticus 6, 8 to 13, God told Moses and said, tell Aaron and his son. It was like a command. It was a regulation about the burnt offering. But what the emphasis there will be on the last line of verse 9. He says, and the fire must be kept burning on the altar. Then if you read down to verse 12, the beginning of verse 12, it says, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. And if you read from verse 13, the same word God was repeating, the fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. And then you wonder, why did God tell Aaron to tell Moses to tell Aaron and his son why the fire must never get out, must never go out of the altar? Because no fire means no presence. No presence means no connection. No connection means you are not hearing from God. Because I believe that the inventor of mobile phone must have read this text. Because if you see, look at mobile phone as an analogy, a metaphor of this. You see, the handset that we hold, if you have your handset, it's like an altar on our heart when you have the handset on your hand. Different handset, iPhone, no phone, Samsung, call it anything, big phone, small phone, either big, either small, either cute, they are like the altar of your heart. But each handset, no matter how beautiful it is, it has to be connected. Is that not so? He has to be connected to a tower. So God represents the tower that responds through a network when we pray. Each answer converts our words when we pray. The voice as an electric signal that is transmitted through the waves onto the tower. Your voice can only be transmitted only if you are connected to the tower. The truth is, no matter how beautiful your handset is, if you are not connected, you are not going to hear anything. Is that not so? Yeah. So no matter how you pick up the handphone, you have to go through the network provider. Who will connect you so that you can communicate? God is our network provider. And our heart, he wants us to connect with him so that our voice may transmit. And oftentimes when you have this handset, you will have signal on it. Oftentimes you have no signal. Every time you have small signal. And oftentimes you have a great signal. Location where you are often will determine the signal that you have on your phone. So the signal represents the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes, your location of where you are, the Holy Spirit didn't like it, so the signal will go down. But oftentimes, you are in the presence of God, you see the signal at full length. That means there is no interruption to your connection to God. But watch it, the signal can also go off or go out. Because there comes a time that oftentimes you are not connected. And you can be disconnected. There are things that in our lives that will make the signal to go out to be disconnected. If you are out of location, you'll be disconnected. If you are out of contract, you'll be disconnected. It's possible to be out of contract with God. Circumstances may make us to be out of connection. And thus we are disconnected. And you can have a poor connectivity whereby you are struggling. I learned from the mobile phone people that if you are in a place where the signal is poor, it drains your battery. If you are where the signal is high, your battery efficiency becomes higher. So which means if you are the further you are from God, the more you are drained. The more you are getting drained. Because it takes much energy to connect you to God. It takes much prayer. It takes much laboring. It takes much of that because you are far out from God. But that's why God told Moses to tell Aaron, tell these people, the fire must never go out from the altar. It must be kept burning all of the time. Our presence does not equal his presence. Ah, that's very deep. Because you are present, it doesn't mean God is present. Your presence, I'm here. It doesn't mean God is present. Because the presence of God is depending on how you are connected to him. And without the presence, there cannot be power. Presence. Presence. And then the power of God come. But God wants to set us on fire so that we can burn for him. God wants to light us up so that we can burn for him. But you know what? It's only God that can light that fire. In Leviticus 9:24, the Bible reads, after the children of Israel, after the Aaron and his son have prepared all that they need to prepare, they just have to wait. Because there's nothing you can do than by faith, prepare your heart, prepare your mind, and believe that God will connect you and set you on fire. So they prepare, they set off. Expectant of God. So in Leviticus 9:24, the Bible reads, and the fire came out from the presence of the Lord, and consume the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and they all fell down. They all fell face down. What's the Bible saying here? Here are the children of Israel. Aaron and his children, they prepare the burnt offering. They set the fire, they set everything on. But there is no fire. It's not a natural fire. That's why you cannot wind things up. You have to allow God, his presence, to make it happen. And they're all waiting. What will happen? But because they are ready, their heart is prepared unto God. A fire came from above. It lit that burnt offering. And it scares the hell out of people. And they said, God is here. It's the same thing for our lives. When we set ourselves apart for God, there comes a time when his power of his Holy Spirit come upon us. And there's no shadow of doubt about it. When people see you, they cannot but know that God's presence and power and might is upon your life. May that be your portion in Jesus' name. But listen, irrespective of a fire being on your life, the fire can also go out. In 1 Kings 18, 38, 39, we read about the fire on the altar of God was out during the reign of Ahab and Jezebel. So Elijah then challenged the prophet of Baal. And then we read as he challenged them. And the Bible reads about Elijah again, because he was an altar that has been prepared. Fire has been there as the prophets have been preparing it, the priests. But then came a bad king, and then the fire went out, that they had an adulterated fire. But when Elijah challenged the prophet of Ahab and the false prophet, and the Bible did say he prepared the altar again, and then he went to a place of prayer. And as he prayed again, because no man can light the altar of God, only God can. And the Bible said the fire came again and lit the altar. Then in the New Testament, we see in the Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, verse 2 to 3, as a replica of the fire that came in the power of the Holy Spirit, as the disciples, as they were in one accord, in one place. And the Bible reads in verse 2, suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seems like a tongues of fire that separated, that came upon them. They did not light the fire up. You cannot make it happen. You can only prepare yourself. They were together in one accord, believing God, praying and praising. And then suddenly, again, and the fire came. Only this time, it was not a burnt offering. It was the fire that came on the heart. It came upon them and it consumed them as they began to speak in tongues. It's a different dimension. Why this fire? Because it signifies the presence of God. It's a direction that enables us to know the mind of God. It gives us purpose and it gives us focus. It lets us avoid the traps and the deception of the enemy. And that's why God says his fire, his presence in our life must continually burn. The fire must never go out. So what God is saying to us is this, that we must pay attention to the altar of our heart. And I begin to look at some things about this altar. Number one, I notice that before God, no man is bigger than his altar, irrespective of your position. No man. Irrespective of title. I don't care whether you are Pope. I don't care whether you are the Archbishop. I don't care what title you carry. No man is bigger than its altar. Irrespective of the position. Because God is not looking at the title and position. God is looking at the heart. So in 1 Samuel 16, 7, the Bible reads, for the Lord sees not as the man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at what? The heart. Is the heart that is God? God is looking at your heart. Is the heart, is it connected to me? It's not the title, it's not the position, it's not whatever anybody puts upon me. Am I knitted and connected with God? Because when I'm connected to him, the fire of God allows God presence. And God presence reveals God's knowledge and God's mind. So I'm hearing God. I'm walking according to his own pattern and his own ways. And that's what we're missing in today's world. There are too many information around. There are too many stories around. There are too many things around that confuses us, that will not help us to decipher. Is it God that is talking? Or is it man that is talking? Or is it media that is talking? But a man that is connected with God, you come out every time from the presence of God knowing that you are connected with him in your heart. I also notice, number two, that the attention you place on your altar will determine the attention God places on you. Anyone that gives priority of his heart will inevitably provoke a relationship with God. See, the Bible reads in James 2:23. That Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness and he was called God's friend. I would like to be called God's friend because of the relationship, because of the connectivity. The question we must ask ourselves is, who is calling us as a friend? Or who do we choose to be our friend? Because when we give attention to our altar, altar that belongs to God, God says, I want to put my attention on you as well. I also notice, number three, that whatever you turn back from to seek the altar will become what you overcome. That's very interesting. Because there are so many things that almost take the place as an altar in our life. That's become an idol that we worship in one way or the other. And it's an altar that God does not approve of. But when you make a decision that I'm turning back from this to face the altar, you overcome that which has been controlling your life. And you read in Luke 19:8, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And I've cheated, if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Zacchaeus overcame greed for all the ill-gotten money. And he says to himself, "I am turning away from this because that will not belong. That is not my altar anymore. I'm facing the altar of God." Whatever you turn from becomes what you overcome. I also noticed, number four, that whenever you are far from the altar, it is not God that moved, it's you that moved. Because our God is immovable. He's the same yesterday, the same forevermore. He remains the same. If the Bible reads in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. When the prodigal son moved, God didn't move. He remained the same. Many times we've all moved from God. Many times we've done our own thing and get away from God. But God still remains. He doesn't move. So God doesn't move, we move. But when we decide to turn back and come back to him, he's still there. And that's the amazing thing about the love of the Father. Because he's even saying to many of us who are prodigals, maybe you can come back today. Let me light back the altar of your heart so that you may have communion and fellowship back with me. The hunger, the thirst, the gap that you have in your heart is because you are far from me. You have moved, but I haven't moved. But if you turn back to me today, that fire will be light back on your heart. I also noticed, number five, that a man with the altar will always have the backing of God. A man that has an altar is a man of authority. He's a man that knows what is happening. When Daniel was condemned to death in Babylon, because in land of his altar, he got the backing of God. I always say that my 91-year-old mother, out of 24 hours a day, maybe she prays 20 hours. So I always tell people, don't offend me, because I'll report you to God and report you to my mother. Because I know that woman has an altar. And she has the backing of God, without a shadow of doubt. Because I just need to, you know, there are some people, they are favorites with God. When you are praying 20 hours out of 24 hours, you actually have an altar with God. So I tell them, don't let me catch you that you are against me. I'll first of all report you to God. But God might say, that stupid Yemi, I'll come and deal with you. But let me report you to my mom. That woman doesn't have anything. She will just lay bare before God. Then you are in trouble. But what am I saying? It's someone that has a communion with God. They will have the backing of God. I also noticed, number six, that anyone that can lose connection with their altar, irrespective of title and position, people, you can lose your connection. No matter what the title we all carry, you can once have it, and then you can lose it. Samuel, in 1 Samuel 13:14, Samuel told Saul, "Your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him." Saul, the king, he had the crown without the anointing. But David didn't have the crown, but he had the anointing. It's possible to once have it, and then you lose it. But may you not lose God's grace upon your life. And I also noticed that any man that handles his altar casually will soon become a casualty. When God gives you an altar of a communion and fellowship with him, and God expects a lot from you because of the grace he has placed and he has poured upon you, if you handle it casually, it's a matter of time because that individual becomes a casualty. How do I know? Look at Samson. In Judges 16:19-21, Samson handled his altar that God gave to him, a relationship and a communion. He took it for granted. And it wasn't long before he became a shish kebab to the enemy. I also noticed, number nine, anyone without an altar will soon find an idol to maintain the demand of the world. If you don't have an altar, the world is craving, take me, have me, let me be an alternative. Because there's always an alternative. An alternative is not God. An alternative is not Google. An alternative is not the Facebook, as good as it may be. An alternative is nowhere, because there's only one, and it's Jesus. And if you don't have an altar that you engage all the time, something else is going to engage you. Something else is going to be your idol. Some people, it might not. In fact, the power of social media being an idol is, anyway. I just don't get it. As good as it is, it can become an idol. Your family can become an idol. Your partner can become an idol. Your work can become an idol. Your bank account can become an idol. Loving the pleasures of life can become an idol. And any man without an altar, you will soon find an alternative that will become the God that you worship. I also know that when there is fire on the altar, the heaven opens for you. 1 Kings 18:45. Elijah connected with his altar and sent a signal to heaven. There must be an outpour. Because there would not be rain in the land. But because Elijah had an altar and a connectivity with God, 3.5 years of drought, he just needed to pray and speak to God. And there was an abundance of rain. A man with an altar will always command the outpour of the presence of God. I also noticed that if a man cannot connect with his altar, he will not hear God. If you cannot connect with your altar, it's very difficult to hear God. How do I know that? If you like, people in the multimedia, I would like you to put onto me Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. I just want you to go through. I want to show you something that if a man cannot connect with his altar, and you have to walk fast with me. Okay, do you have your Bible with you? Leave all the multimedia people. You have your Bible? Okay, Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. What did he say? Anybody read it out? What did he say? Exodus 6, 1. And the Lord said to Moses. Can you go to Exodus chapter 7, verse 1? What did he say? Can you go to Exodus 8, verse 1? Exodus chapter 9, verse 1? Exodus chapter 10, verse 1? Exodus chapter 11, verse 1. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Exodus chapter 13, verse 1. Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. What is the Lord saying to you? It's not coincidental that Moses, at every time you read in the text, and the Lord said to Moses. How did that happen? It means Moses had a communion with God. So it was written that it wasn't an act or a behavior that has not been inspired by God. So every single time you will read it, and the Lord said to Moses. You will open another chapter, and the Lord said to Moses. He will open another chapter, and the Lord said to Moses. How did that happen? That means I bet every time, maybe in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, Moses kind of saying to God, I am not going unless you speak to me. What is your word to me? There are so many things I want to say. There are so many things I want to do. But what are you saying to me? Because when you speak to me, I know it's your word. And I know I can stand on your word, even if it doesn't look like what it's supposed to be. And the Lord said to Moses, time after time, how many of us can confidently say, when we act, when we behave, or when we are out there, that the Lord said to me? Because how will God speak to you if you don't create that time, the moment? See, it has to be intentional if you want to hear God. It cannot be on the go. It cannot be haphazardly. Because God is not someone to be treated shabbily. The more you hear God, the more you will know that your path is aligned with success. Because God's success does not align to man's success. What a disaster for a believer who doesn't hear God's word. What a disaster for a believer whose heart is not open to the fire of God. What a disaster for a believer who cannot confidently say, I am in communion with God. So God said to Moses, tell Aaron and his son, whatever it takes, three times he repeated it, do not let the fire go out of the altar. Whatever it takes. Because the fire on the altar means my presence is here. The fire on the altar means we have relationship. The fire on the altar means we are in communication. When the fire is no more there, you've lost it. The question is, can you put your hands on your heart and say that the fire of God is still on the altar of your heart? Because that is the question for most people. That is the challenge for most people. And it's something that we have to fight everything that is raining around us, that whatever it is, the fire of God must never get out of our heart. Because when the fire of God is in our heart, we can be assured of his direction, of his leading, of his part in everything that we do. So God, in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, he said, call unto me, and I will answer you. Well, another version says, I will reveal the things that are hidden, that are fenced, that the natural eyes cannot see. So it's about calling on God. Because you call on God when you know that you have a communion and relationship with him. And say, when you call unto me, then I will answer you. The Lord said, I will speak back to you. He then, I will then show you the things that the natural eyes cannot see. The things that you has been faced. One verse said, the things that have been faced. See, it's possible that the things that you want is faced. And your natural eye cannot see. But it takes the spiritual eye to see. Ah. That's the deep stuff. That's what the text is saying. He's saying that the things that are fenced. See, it's possible that you are near what you need, but because your spiritual eye is blinded, you don't see it. Yet it's beside you. But God said, when you call, I will then open your eyes. You will see the things that have been fenced. And suddenly you realize, this is the person I need. This is the person I want. This is the place I need to go. And suddenly it becomes a reality. What has become oblivion unto you? He said, when you call unto me, it's a communion. It's a relationship. It's a place where we need to surrender our heart and our mind unto God. Church, I beg of you. There's nothing that separates a true believer than one thing. The person that hears from God. Because when you hear from God, irrespective of any circumstance or situation, you have the mandate, you have the presence, you have the power of God, and you have the declaration because you are speaking out of the throne of God. Let's bow our head. I don't know how far your heart is with God. Maybe God is speaking to you today. Maybe the fire is off the heart. But God says, can you allow me to light the fire back so that we can have a communion, so that your prayer may actually be the spiritual wave that I receive. You know yourself, it's not about title, it's not about position. It's not about what we do, it's not about who we are. The Bible says God doesn't see the outside but see the inside. How far are you? How is the signal of your heart? Have you lost connection? Is your connection very shallow that you are not even, don't even know? When you speak to God, whether God hears, because of the way you've been distanced from him. But he's saying today, why don't you reconnect? Recharge. I've never moved. I'm the same yesterday, today, and I'll remain the same forevermore. But God is saying he wants to set you again on fire for his Holy Spirit to come anew and afresh upon you so that you see what he's saying, so that you hear what he's saying, so that you begin to do what he wants you to do. He's not far from us. He's so close, so close, so close. You could almost touch him this afternoon. And he said, if only you could just say, Lord, one more time, set me on fire for you so that I may burn and the world may come and watch me for your glory that is upon my life. Father, I pray this morning for my brothers and my sisters who are here. No matter how far our heart and the altar of our heart have gone far from you. We look good, we smell good. We do all the things people do on a church on Sunday. But you don't see the outside, you see the inside. And many people here, their hearts are hungry for you. They are saying, God, only one more time if you could touch me. And many people are saying, Lord, I don't even know how to do it. I don't know how to say it. I'm burdened. I don't even know how to explain it. I'm too far out. And some are saying, I'm lukewarm. I don't even know how to get back to the first love. But today we come back to the foot of the cross. And all of us, we are saying, Lord, may you in your infinite mercy and grace just pour your spirit afresh upon us. Forgive us of all the things that we've done that is not right before you. But for one more time, let that fire come from above and let it light our heart and set us on fire again for you. Let us live here knowing for assured that God is renewed on our heart. Let's begin to speak like God. Let's begin to see like God. Let's begin to hear like God. Let's begin to act like God. And the world may see us born for him. Oh, we call on you, Holy Spirit. Will you please come afresh? Renew our heart. Restrengthen our spirit. Give us a new vision. Give us a new insight. Give us a new foresight. Give us a new breath. Give us a new audacity. In the might of God Almighty. Lord, we cry out to you today. Set us on fire. Set this church on fire. Set this area on fire. Oh, we don't want to remain the same. We say, God, come. Come by your Holy Spirit. Not just that the power came on the apostles on the day of Pentecost. We cry out for your presence. We cry out for your power. Oh God, we cry out for you. Our heart far from you, but we say today, we'll come close back unto you. Oh God, do only what you can do, that your glory may be made perfect in us. Ah, Father, have your way. Just take some few minutes just to receive from God. Just receive the breath of life walking through our spirit and our heart and our mind right now. Renew in our heart. Strengthen us afresh. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Please come, Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes, Lord. God is walking through people. God is healing. God is drawing people back to himself right now. God is doing healing in heart, in mind. God is just doing tremendous stuff right now. The things that you don't have power to do or to touch, he's reaching it, he's touching it. Ah, he's doing an operation right now in people's heart. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it hasn't come to the heart of man. What the Lord has made available for those who love him. But it's now being revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit, touching our heart, making a new way, paving a new path, healing us and setting us free for his glory. Father, we live here knowing, assured that your presence is renewed and rekindled in us. Where you have been weak, receive strength. Receive God's power. Receive God's grace. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't you give God a praise this morning, this afternoon? I'm thankful.